The City of Winnipeg's 2012 capital budget includes spending on bridges, roads, rapid transit, and other infrastructure. The Southwest Rapid Transit Corridor will be funded, in part, by a 20-cent increase in transit fares. This is in addition to the 5-cent fare increase that was already planned for January. Last week, Councillor Jenny Gerbasi was one of six city councillors who voted against the city's capital budget. Jenny Gerbasi is the city councillor for Fort Rouge and East Fort Garry, and she joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Jenny.
Hello.
Although you're a supporter of rapid transit for Winnipeg, you have spoken out against the new transit fare increase. Why isn't a fare increase a good way to pay for rapid transit?
Well, it's actually really wrong to charge people that are using transit to pay for the cost of transit, because transit users, by using transit, benefit everyone, because the more people ride transit, they reduce congestion, they reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and they actually make it easier for people to have space to drive their cars. And the other thing is, it's just not how things are done. Across Canada, there's taxes that everybody taxes. Everybody should be paying the cost, especially people using cars, should be paying the cost of building the transit infrastructure, because it benefits everyone. And that's how they do it in other cities. For example, Vancouver has a transit tax that everybody who pays on their gas, and it goes towards transit.
And this is fairly unprecedented, isn't it, to put a tax specifically on bus riders to pay for a major project?
Absolutely. And it's really harsh, considering with our demographics in Winnipeg, too, and the way people tend to ride transit, they tend to be lower. There's a large percentage that are lower income. So it's really going to hurt a lot of people, you know, single mothers, seniors, lower income people. People are just struggling to get by, and they're going to have to pay the brunt of building. Meanwhile, we're building all these new roads and expanding, widening roads for cars, and those people aren't paying an additional tax on that, which is the route which most other cities are going.
If we can't afford all of the infrastructure we're doing without a transit fare increase, is there projects that you would prefer us to put on hold as a city?
Well, that's, I think this increase was an act of desperation. They're short of cash and they want to build everything. Well, we have to decide, and I think we have to invest in existing infrastructure and repairing the infrastructure we have, and we have to invest in public transit infrastructure, and then we have to defer some of the road widenings and road expansions that are, because that just isn't the sustainable way to go. We have to start encouraging people to get out of their cars and creating a transit system that people are willing to do that. But I think council's kind of putting its head in the sand and saying, well, we can be everything to everyone. You know, the reality is we aren't really building a rapid transit system very quickly, and we are extending our road network, quite quickly. So, I mean, it's a matter of priorities, and it's a matter of, you know, really sticking to building a sustainable city. It's about what kind of city do we want to build, and I'm not sure that I'm always in agreement with the kind of city that the council is choosing to build by these capital budgets.
Given that building new roads, it has an immediate cost of the construction, but it also has an ongoing cost of upkeeping roads and lanes and all the supporting infrastructure. Would you support a tax or a levy specifically on motorists, whether it's a toll or more parking fees or just a tax on cars, like Emily Weep had suggested?
Well, I definitely think there's a whole range of possible options that could be looked at. And another one, aside from all of those, would be using the tax revenue generated from development around rapid transit to pay for it too. So there's a whole bunch of possible tools that we could be, but they didn't look at that. They just simply said, let's just put it on the transit rider on the spur of the moment. And it was really the wrong way to go on so many levels.
One thing that I haven't heard anything about in terms of the fare increase is if you increase the fare for transit, is it actually going to increase transit revenue? And we heard from Emily Weep, who's, you know, a lower income citizen who doesn't have options. But for a lot of people, there are other options. And if transit goes up, they may take their car, they may take a taxi, they may choose to walk instead. So was there any consultation to show that increasing the price of transit is actually going to result in more money for Winnipeg Transit?
Well, there was absolutely no analysis. In fact, it wasn't even really discussed with the transit department. There wasn't time to analyze that and sort of look at what is the tipping point or the breaking point when you start losing ridership. I mean, normally you would look at those things with a fare increase, and none of that was looked at whatsoever. I mean, whether or not we're at that point, I don't know. But I do know that it's the wrong thing to do to have transit riders who are helping the environment and helping the sustainability of our city by their choices, you know, be punished in a sense or burdened when those that are you know, almost in a sense contributing to the problem or making that lifestyle choice, that they aren't having to pay the brunt of it. So I think it's just the wrong way to go.
Is there any indication that the provincial government may intervene and oppose the transit increase, or is it a done deal?
Well, it's kind of a odd situation because there's a chance that if the city and the province came to a different funding arrangement for the rapid transit, the city could decide to forego the increase. But it's the city that has the right to set the transit fares. So they've kind of set it, and then they've said to the province, well, if you come through and rescue us and give us a bunch of money, you know, then we'll back off of it. So there still is that chance. And I've been trying to find out how that's going through question period and asking, you know, if there's been any results on that, and we haven't really got any kind of clarity on that. So if nothing happens by April or so, then they have to start printing the new tickets with the new fares, and then the fare is going to go ahead. I mean, it's difficult. Sometimes when people make a bad decision and they put themselves in a corner, you know, it's hard to back out of it because it's not that simple to figure out a whole negotiation with another level of government to fund a transit project. In fact, it involves the federal government too, to some extent. So I don't know how they can do it in the time frame they've given themselves. And I hope they do. And I encourage people to keep putting the pressure on them and send emails and phone calls to your councillor and the mayor and tell them that you think they've made a wrong decision and they shouldn't go ahead with this.
I think it's been hard for people to organize too because it's happened so quickly that, you know, people weren't expecting this size of transit increase. So there hasn't been a lot of reaction to it as much if it had been planned. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the other major news at City Hall last week, which was the vote to sell Winnipeg Water and Sewer Services to rural communities, which you voted against. What problems do you see this causing?
Well, the thing is, water and sewer services are often the key deciding factor in whether development can go ahead. And we know there's going to be some development outside the city, but I believe that extending water and sewer services sort of ad infinitum, you know, just to anyone who wants it, is going to accelerate the rate of exurban development and sprawl. And then it's going to put more pressure on us to build more of these roads, and we're going to have more traffic coming through the city and cutting through, and there'll be more demand for these for roadways. Now, this is something we've never gone down the path of selling services before, like this, for this reason. And for some reason, the mayor and council seem to be, you know, really thrilled that we're helping out our capital region friends. I mean, they're my friends too. There's some really great folks who represent the communities outside the city. But I think we're elected to represent the city of Winnipeg, and we have to look at what's going to be best for our city. And, you know, somebody came to council and told an interesting story about what happened in, I think it was Chris Leo, in Detroit. Way back when, they sold services, water services, to the outlying communities, and their city essentially became a donut after that. I mean, everybody moved out. And so it's sort of known that that's what happens when you do this. We're getting some revenue back for it, but I don't think that they fully calculated the cost that's going to come. Because every time somebody moves out there, whether it's a business or a residence, we lose that, the taxes that we'd be getting while they're here. And then they drive into the city and use our services. I mean, they're not talking about tolls or anything like that to get additional costs from that. So I'm quite concerned about it. The other thing was that the policy we passed was sort of some general principles which said how we would sell these services, you know, under what circumstances and how much we charge and all that. West St. Paul, we didn't even get to see the actual agreement, and they wanted to have all of the agreements bypass council scrutiny completely. And so I think in a sense it was a victory because a lot of people did write in and speak up about that concern that we were handing away authority of council to the CAO to just sell, make these deals, and then they wouldn't even come back to council for approval, which is unheard of. I mean, the other smaller councils would not give away that authority. So that was at least corrected, with the exception of the West St. Paul agreement.
So in the future, if there is a request for services, that would have to be approved by council on an individual basis.
It has to come
basis.
Back to council, but unfortunately it'll go under the same policy, which, frankly, I don't think is... I'm not convinced that we're charging enough for the services because I'm not sure that we're looking at the full external long-term impact of allowing the kind of growth. And it depends on where that growth is. If we're putting in services in a place where there really wouldn't have been any development, you know, and then you're creating a whole new set of issues that have to be paid for in terms of infrastructure that we hadn't figured out. You know, we really have to look at each agreement. So I do have a lot of concerns about it. I think we're kind of opening up a can of worms, and I mean, I hope I'm wrong and that this is as wonderful for the city as they seem to think. But there's a lot of people that have seen this throughout the country and throughout the world, that when you start providing those kinds of services, you really just sprawl your city out further, which we already have a huge problem with.
Well, thank you for coming in and talking about this today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Winnipeg City Councillor Jenny Gerbasi, and you're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.